All right, good morning. As we've been announcing for the last several weeks, we've been looking forward to having Daniel and Hannah Noreen and their family with us from Sweden. They're one of the missionaries that we're able to support on a regular basis. Daniel has not been with us maybe for a couple of years now, something like that, maybe a couple of years. So he says he's encouraged in the work there. We're grateful that he's encouraged. So why don't you come on in? The only Sunday school class that we'll be meeting will be Miss Edu's class. Keith Barron's class will stay in, and Sarah's class will stay, is that right, staying in? But Miss Edu's class will meet this morning. So I'll pray, and we'll let Miss Edu's class be dismissed. And Daniel's going to come and just give us an update on the ministry there in Sweden until about, say, 10 after or so, and then we'll allow for some time for some Q&A. So let's go before the Lord in prayer then. Lord, thank you for this day. You are our God. We love you, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness, your grace, your mercy to us. This is the day that you've made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we are glad to be together on the Lord's Day in fellowship around you. We pray for your blessings upon this time as Daniel comes to give us an update on the ministry there in Sweden. We pray for your blessings upon that time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come ahead, brother.
Yeah, we're so thankful to be back in the States and thankful for the partnership in the gospel. So we live and minister in Gothenburg, Sweden, which is the second biggest city in Sweden on the west coast where they make the Volvo cars. So the message on the screen, help, I can't find a church in my city. It's a message that we get frequently, often every week, either maybe a text, an email, or a phone call. And across the country, there's so many people who can't find solid churches. And this was the original comment that moved us to consider going back to Sweden, where I come from, when we lived in Tunisia in North Africa. Does anyone know where Tunisia is located? Let's see, any kids? Yeah. Do you know where? Yeah. So between Algeria and Libya, just south of Malta. So that's where we were living. And so this man, Omid, a former Muslim, he was struggling to find a church in Gothenburg, Sweden. And the only source that he had to look how a church should be like was the Bible. So he was reading and visiting, but couldn't find a church. And this is keeping repeating themselves, this message. So this is Ronnie and Abby from the city of Västerås. We got in contact with them during time of COVID. They couldn't find a church. Alex and Sophia, he's half American, half Swede, they're in the city of Örebro. Dennis and Maria from the city of Uppsala. It's the fourth biggest city, a university city. The same message from them. Peter, who's getting married there. I've known him for many years. He's in the city of Jönköping, which is kind of here. He's been struggling to find a church. He got married last year. And here's like just symbolizing the messages that we get all the time. People just, we can't find a church. And
these people say they couldn't find churches in their cities.
In their cities, yeah. Yes, correct. So any questions, feel free to ask us. We go along. Yep.
How far do they drive to get to your church?
So the ones who come to our church, there's some people who drive 1.5 hour, but that's the furthest. Or 2 hours with having one way people driving to get to church.
Yeah, not all these people are coming to your church. They're just
saying no, they can't find a church. Yeah, correct. Did you have one more question or? No, okay. So, and there's a lot of beautiful church buildings, just like when we drive here, but more the traditional, many traditional ones in Sweden. And it used to be like that the gospel was preached in every major city and village across the country, but now it's like a famine of the gospel. And if you help me, if you would look for the bare minimum of what to look for in a church, let's say you go on through the military, some people do, you end up in a country somewhere, or you end up somewhere and planning to go, what would be the bare minimum to look for in a church? Maybe the kids can start to help first. Any suggestions? What would you look for in a church?
Believe the Bible.
Believe the Bible? Yeah. Anything else to look for in a church? Any kids? Adults? We're all kids.
Gospel preaching.
Gospel preaching, great. Something else. We came up with some foundational things, and it's not an exhaustive list. Like 9 marks of a healthy church is one thing, but 5 things. The first of all, the belief in the inerrancy, that the Bible is without fault, and the sufficiency of the Bible, that it's enough, we don't need something else. So that's the foundation for a church, that the Bible, the belief in the Bible. And then secondly, we heard like that where they clearly proclaim the gospel and where their members are aiming to reach out with the gospel in their daily lives. And you can see, like, when it comes to the point before, like, the inerrancy, like, in the country, there's only one seminary, a very small one in the whole country who believes in this, a small Lutheran one. And when it comes to the training of pastors and leaders, it has been replaced by liberal theology and by entertainment and other things, the belief in the Bible. So it's so needy. And the gospel should be in the center of every church. And then thirdly, where the Bible is in the driving seat. It's nothing else, not entertainment, not the latest strategies, but where the goal is to preach through the Bible, where the main point of the passage in a Bible book would be the main point in the sermon, or if it's a Bible study, so that the Bible is speaking for itself. Then it's not just pick and choose, okay, I want those verses, oh, I like those ones, but the whole Bible, and I know that you're all for that. And then fourthly, where they focus on discipleship and training leaders, it's so important that you raise up people so that they become mature and that you get leaders. And then fourthly, where they're in response of the gospel would focus to live out the one another passages in the Bible. It's what we will call gospel culture, where it's not just in the head, but it goes down to the heart and it affects our lives and our life as a church together. So I think that would be some of the foundational thing. And this would include prayer, of course, and many other things. But if you just look for the bare minimum of a church, and we can be gracious, like if a church wants to grow, we get contacted also by churches that say, we are not healthy, we want to grow, we want to follow what the Bible says, can you help us? And sure, we want to help you, but they need to have the Bible and the gospel. If they don't have that, it's not a church. But we see a lot of rotten churches. So if you use the illustration of a house, like it might look nice on the outside, but if the Bible is not there, if the gospel is not there, then it's rotten. And Charles Spurgeon said that the church does not determine what the Bible teaches, but the Bible determines what the church must teach. And that's so important. So I would like to invite you to take on your tool belt, so to say, and help us, like when it comes to Sweden. Like, we need buildings, churches, not that the church is a building, and we need to see the renovation of existing churches. Like, and I once went to bring some books to a church in our city, and I told the man who, he showed me around in the church, and he said, it's a beautiful building you have done, like in, yeah, but we need to be renovated on the inside of our hearts, he said, this man, and very humble man, and a hunger for the truth. So how do you define an unreached people group? Can anyone help me? What do you think?
Hartsville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
One would be where they do not have.
Where they do not have in their language the Bible?
No church or gospel witness.
Yeah. So in missiological terms, like they often say that if it's less than 2% evangelical Christians who believe in the gospel, I don't know how they came up with that definition, but if you look on Sweden, it's on the edge, verge of the edge of that, like on the limit. So if you read in certain books about statistics about Sweden, it would say that it's around 5-6% evangelical Christians. But if you start to look on what those denominations and churches believes, it's less than 2% evangelical Christians. So, for example, if you take this room, how many people are we here? Maybe estimate 100 or... So it would be like if you two, would you want to stand up? Yeah, just to stand up. If you were the only Christians, like here, like and only, like there's less than 2% goes to church, if that would represent all of the people in Hartsville, like all the people are in here. So just to get it into perspective, you can sit down. Thank you. And in Sweden, the last 25 years, we have seen how the church has decreased with one evangelical church every week. So if you took in Tennessee, if it became, or in Hartsville, or one less church every week, but in Sweden, it's just going like this. And if it wouldn't be for immigration, it would go much faster. So here's just some statistics from Sweden. And we've seen like Muslim refugees flooding into Sweden. So they estimate around 10% of the people who live in Sweden right now are Muslims. So that's why some of the statistics, like that it's higher, like for example, religion does more harm than the world than good. Like, so 10% of the people answering is Muslims. And they think that religion is good. So Hannah and I, my wife that's in the back there, and some of the kids, we met in North Africa, in the Middle East, in Syria, and then ended up moving to Tunisia in North Africa after Hannah got kicked out of Syria. And here's the whole family. And that's where we met in Jung in Syria. It's in Damascus on Jabal Qasyon. That's where we got engaged. So the night when we got engaged. And the flag on the top is Syria, and then Sweden, and then Tunisia. It looks similar to the Turkish flag. And we would like to invite you just to get a glimpse of how the last 2 years has been in Sweden. And I'm very encouraged. We have never seen so much fruit during the whole time in Sweden as during the last 2 years. And we want to acknowledge that God works in a mysterious way, in many different ways. It's not just to us. and he's at work in Sweden, and we are thankful for that. But just to get a glimpse of what we have been seeing, so 10 years ago, we got to see Gothenburg International Baptist Church started with 11 members, and now we are 40-plus members. And on the picture here is a lady from India and her husband. So she's a former Hindu that came to faith in Gothenburg. So that was in December last year when we had the baptism. Some pictures. Yep. Something that has been challenging is like we're two elders right now. We've nominated a third elder. Actually, the guy on the picture here, there, he's originally from Kenya that we have nominated as an elder, very godly, mature man. But the other elder, he's facing the time where he can't get his visa renewed, so he has to leave Sweden. And that's like a reaction against the Muslim immigration, that the borders are tightening up. So imagine that in Europe, even he's American. So even as an American, that it's hard to stay long term just because of visa issues. So here's like when we meet to have our Sunday meetings, the different people that can be represented. So it's kind of United Nations. What? Yeah. Over the years, maybe we've only seen a handful of Swedes coming to faith, and there's people from all around the world. And due to refugee situation, but also some people moving for work in Sweden. So the family from India, where their wife from a Hindu background came to faith, they came as engineers to work in Sweden. And the place where we were meeting, we outgrow that place, which has been encouraging. So now we're meeting in a Christian high school. There's only two Christian high schools in the whole of Sweden. And this one is in the central part of the city. So we started to move in there. Cafeteria where they serve food. And we've been praying for many years to find another place that's more suitable. So that's a prayer answer. In terms of evangelism, when we send out our prayer newsletters, something that we've been writing quite a few times is like for more opportunities to read the Bible with non-believers. And 1.5 years ago, I got an email through our church webpage. We have put out, if you would like to read the Bible and discover who Jesus is, please contact us. And over the years, I think only two people have contacted us about this. And so this guy, it turns out he lives three streets over from where we live. And we invite him to our family when we have family worship and to eat meals with us. And I started to read through the Gospel of Mark. It's not the guy in the picture. He's from a restricted country, and he loses his job, unfortunately. And he wrote in a text message, I came to Sweden to find a nice life, and I've lost my job, but I found Jesus. So that was wonderful. And then he introduced me to this guy here from China, from his workplace, that also was on his way of losing his job, and we started to read the Bible. And he got a job in Sweden. The other guy returned to his home country. And then I managed to hand him over to somebody else. So they keep reading the Bible. He's not yet a believer, so you can pray for him. And he introduced me to another man, this second guy at the same workplace, that was also interested in reading the Bible. So now Hannah and I are reading the Bible with him and his wife. And you can pray for them too to come to faith. The wife starts to come regularly to church, but it's not yet the believer. But they're very interested. Last time we were here, we presented something we call Vision 2030. And it's to see 6 church plants started by 2030. That's what we're praying for in 6 strategical cities. So if this would happen, then 60% of the Swedish population could reach a church within 1 hour's drive. And if you add 1.5 hour that some people are driving to get to our church, almost 80% of the population could reach a church within 1 hour's reach. So that's amazing. And you saw Ronnie here. He's from the city of Västerås. And he started up 2 Bible studies in his city. And they kept growing. So the first one was, he's from a Hispanic background. So it was in Spanish with some relatives and friends. And it was during COVID time. So people were not allowed to meet. And then he called me and I said, you can join us for a Bible study. We are training Bible study leaders. And then unknown to us, he started up a Bible study. And then he contacted me. Oh, I started this Bible study with my relatives. But I have quite a few Swedish-speaking friends from the Middle East, North Africa, Eastern Europe, and even Swedes. And we can't find a church, and I'm going to start another Bible study group. So he started that too, and then we invited him last year to come as an intern to our church. So he has been in September with us for 1 year, and some things are taught and some things are caught. So in the sense, just to be there and see how a church is, and now he's returning in September back to the group. He will do another year over distance. So that's one of the cities. And here's Örebro with Alex on the picture and his wife Sofia. They were in the same situation, couldn't find a church, been struggling, reading a lot of books, healthy books, listening to sermons online like John Piper, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul and others. And then they also started a Bible study group in their city, and they've outgrown their living room now. But they're in great need of somebody to come and help them to plant. So you can pray for somebody to partner with this guy. And he has his own business, so it's hard to find enough time to get more training for him and to move. But the ideal thing would be also to move as an intern and get trained and then get sent back. But it's also a hard thing. If you take somebody away, a leader from the place, it loses a lot of momentum. But in the long run, we need mature and godly men that are elder qualified to plant churches. So that's Örebro. And here's Dennis and his wife Maria. They come from a prosperity gospel background. He listened to Paul Washer online and came to faith and then realized all that what I have believed was wrong. And then I have to be retrain and to understand what the Bible really is saying. So they're now attending a Reformed church in the capital in Stockholm. But this fall they will start up like a Bible study in their city. And he sent yesterday a picture where they were gathered. There are 4 families gathering together and so hungry for the Bible. And you remember the couple that were getting married. They're not on the picture, but this man, Nima, he was an intern for 3 years in a like-minded church in our city that has been planted too. And he's being sent out together with the guy on the picture that got married, Peter, that I've been training over distance for a while. The two of them will plant a church, and they will start this fall in the city of Jönköping. So they still have around a dozen of people that will be committed to join this church when they're starting. And that's in the city of Jönköping. And then we have 2 other cities, Linköping. There was a group that we were helping, but they were struggling and it never took off. So they closed down that group, unfortunately. And this is also a major university city. You can pray for a church plant there. Malmö, it's the 3rd biggest city in the south of Sweden, just across the bridge from Copenhagen in Denmark. And it will be the first major city in the Nordic countries where the Muslims will be in majority. And if the trajectory continues as it's doing, then It will not just be this city, but it will be countries in Europe who will be Muslims within one or two generations. But it's hard to predict. Yeah, that's if Hannah, can you confirm, because you put it on? Yeah, so it's a mosque in Malmö. And that's a city that we have greatly on our heart, that they really need a solid church there. So what do they need in those groups? What do you think?
Five parameters.
And more, like they need that, but how do they get there and beyond that? Helpers, great.
Preachers.
So elder qualified men to plant is a huge need. People are very hungry for the Bible, and something more is like training for all of them in the groups, and they need good resources. We will get back to that. They need partnership and mentorship and prayer. And this is something that we have been focusing on. So to train over distance, some of the men, we are meeting up once a month for different training things online. And then we go twice a semester to do with three of those groups together, training for all of the people in evangelism, discipleship, apologetic, what a church should be, and so forth. And then mentorship to keep them accountable and what they're struggling with. And in the Bible used emphasize character, 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 character. And that's what we need in people who are planting. And prayer, it's so needy. So please keep on praying for those groups. And a big need that we founded 10 years ago, a non-profit. It was originally called Reformedia, but in order to be able to have a greater reach, we changed it to Rooted, which comes from Colossians 2, 6 to 7. Rooted and founded in Him, in Christ. And we tried to do three things to this through this nonprofit: to connect, resource, and equip. So have you ever heard of the Elijah syndrome? Yeah. Am I the only one? And that's what we hear all the time. I can't find a church. I don't know any Christians in my city. And then open your eyes. That's what we want to help people to connect, to meet like-minded people. So here is a summer camp. When we're coming back, we'll have a summer camp in Sweden. And then for people like, they contact, oh, I don't know anyone. And then they come, oh, here's two other believers from your city. Or there's a Bible study group in your city. Or there will be a church plant soon in your city. And that's wonderful. And you're not the only one. And of course, not in the country. And then resources, too, is something that's a huge need. So how many of you have studied another language than English? And how many books have you read in that language? A few, yeah. Some have. And for most Swedes, like, imagine, like, if you would, how many books have you read in English or another language? Not so many. So we need good resources. Like, some of the men that I'm helping out to train, like, and we have to use English resources if they know, but some of them don't know well enough English. But so they say, we've never read that many books in our whole life before. And imagine if all the books in your bookshelf would be gone, or in your elders' bookshelves would be gone. And that's kind of the situation for many people. So when we started this nonprofit, we have translated and published over 40 resources now to help out to train in different areas. Whoops. There. And that's still a big void to be filled like good, healthy resources. Something else is that we try to equip, we try to train. So we have a yearly expository preaching conference. And this spring we had Christopher Ash preaching through Psalms about the Psalms of Lament and how you lament and go through suffering in life. And 170 people showed up. That's the biggest amount of people ever. There's a hunger. And on the picture, like, there's people from all kind of Christian backgrounds, and they're hungry. They are starving. So there's Lutherans, charismatics coming, all kind of people, and they're hungry for the Bible. And if the Bible is in the driving seat, it will also reform them back to the Bible. And what we have seen during the last couple of years is a wonderful growth, both in the church, both with Ruta, the nonprofit, and with small groups popping up. I'm the chairman for this nonprofit, but I'm joking and saying that I'm just growing here now. But I think I'm stretched to what I can do. So something that's a big prayer request is for God to raise up people to be able to help out. And with most of the groups that we're meeting and most of the people that we're connecting through, too, it's through this non-profit. They hear about the books or the conferences, and then that's how we connect to people. So a big, what we're trying to do, it's to fund for this guy, David Ingfors, when we're here in America, for him to be able to join full-time. He's been on our board for many years and volunteered with theological proofreading, for him to be able to take over a lot of the things that I'm doing, so that I could focus on church planting more instead.
He's a Swedish man?
Yeah, it's a Swedish man. So he did got an MDiv in the States before. So. And what is the need in Sweden? So we need people to go. We need people to come, but it's hard with the visa situation now for people to stay. There might be possibilities long-term in creative ways to be able to stay. But also short term, if you want to come on a trip, evangelize, encourage some of those believers in other cities or in our own church, you're welcome to come. And also you can go. You're here in Hartsville. Like, I was praying for somebody to read the Bible with. There's a lot of nominal Christians that you can read the Bible with and see people get to know the Lord or disciple. And also throughout this trip, like, we love to reach out to Muslims. We have met Muslims. For example, last Sunday we were sitting in a restaurant, and across the table was a Muslim lady sitting covered with a hijab. There's people everywhere. I don't know here if there's some Muslims, maybe not, but maybe through work or some connections you can reach out to people. So you don't have to cross the ocean to go, but you can go to your surroundings. And if you have family, kids, you can have an impact with them to disciple your kids for the Lord. And we need prayers, and we're so thankful for all of your prayers. I remember a few years ago when I was here, and one of you said that you had been praying for us every day since we were here, and we were overjoyed to hear that. And it's a work of God, like, through prayer. We can't do it on our own. So we're so thankful that you're praying for us. We have a new prayer card out on the table in the foyer. So please get a new one with some prayer requests on the backside. And we also have a few needs. So the biggest need would be for the non-profit, like, to, so that I can be freed to work more with church planting. And we also, like, our car, we have had issues for a while, so we're in need of raising some funds to get a new or a secondhand car. And here are some prayer requests if you want to take a picture, if you want to remember how you can pray for us. But it's also some on the card that you can get. Do we have any questions?
So, with Sweden and needs to be full-time to help.
So he has a regular secular job today, but he's more than willing to work full-time if there will be enough funds to do that, just to step in and to take over a lot of the things that I'm doing there to free me. But I would still be on the board if that would be the case as a chairman, just to oversee the work.
And so also with the young men that are aspiring to be involved in church planting, you say that you're praying for elder qualified. So those particular young men are not, you know, they either need training or that kind of thing.
So they are in need of training. So yeah. Ronnie, that's with us right now, he's going in that direction. He needs some more training, but we're very encouraged with how he has been growing. I've known him now for around 3 years and trained him over distance, but just as he's been coming to us, how much he's growing. But it's also like a need for outsiders to come in and help out to plant. And we don't want to go too fast with encouraging a church to be planted, but really when we see like, okay, we have qualified men that are capable of doing this, but we also have quite a few men in our own church that slowly are growing and that some have a heart to go to church plant too, so you can pray for that. The ideal thing would be to send one of them to one of the places, but right now, they're not there. Any other questions?
The next to the last prayer request you have there is kind of catching my attention, especially in the context and the culture of Sweden, for protection from people with evil intentions. What might that look like where you are?
So it could be revealed in different ways. Like we have some co-workers with OM, the missions organization that we work with, that works with Somalis, and they have faced a lot of persecution. There have been attempts of killing people who have come to faith. There have been death threats and people have been beaten up. We haven't seen that personally so much. But I think another one is like people who have intentions against Christianity, a lot of governmental things, but individuals that come with suggestions. So homeschooling, for example, is illegal. And they try to push a very secular agenda. If you do not agree to some of those, for example, LGBTQ values, that's something that they might push down on. Even in schools, like where teachers try to push those things. So like just like the main biggest party in Sweden, the Socialist Party, they were in power for more than 44 years. And then they had a strategy to remove the influence of the Lutheran state church, to remove the influence of the churches, Christians from schools. And then the third thing, the big thing, is to remove the influence of families. And that's where they're pushing for a lot. So already in the 1930s, they put out a plan and put it in a book that to remove kids 7 to 8 hours from their parents every day so that they could indoctrinate them. And that's something that we have seen. For example, I was in a gathering for church planters in Europe, and a man from France said that he had to put away even his 2-year-old to childcare that's enforced. And then the motivation is we need to get the Muslims. They are not assimilating so well, and then they can get the Christians too. So some of those things might be on a higher level. When we've done street evangelism, we have met people that get angry, like Muslims. That was a broad answer. Hannah?
I can maybe add from a mother's perspective, we've chosen to live in a very immigrant area. We could have chosen to live out in, you know, the beautiful Swedish countryside, but we live in an area where I've been on the tram with the kids and we've seen a kid get mugged. Our kids' bikes have been stolen. I'm always having to talk about how do you safely go on the bus and the tram. There's gangs, there's all sorts of stuff in our area. And yet if we're where the Lord wants us to be, that's the best place we can be. But that, I think, would also be something that we often take into account. We have very often helicopters flying over the house because there's been some crime. We have police that actually, they use our backyard because we live up on a cliff to look out. They come and park next to our house and look out and fly their drone to see the criminals that are just down the hill from us. So it is, maybe from an American perspective, you don't have helicopters flying over your house and you don't think about gangs and criminality when the kids go to school, but that's part of our daily life too.
And with immigration, crime has gone up, but it's a minority of refugees and others who are doing the crimes, but we've seen a rapid growth of crimes and shootings and even bombs at entrance to apartment complex and hand grenades, and that's just between criminals. Any other questions? Maybe we can do like this, just to pray very shortly. So if we do six groups, so let's say if we divide here, so you here, you will pray for Uppsala, the fourth biggest city, where they are starting a Bible study group this fall. And you can pray for Västerås, where our intern is, that will return there and that want to see a church planted. And let's say it's uneven groups, but you can pray for Örebro, where they really need somebody to come and help them to plant. And you can pray for Linköping, that had a Bible study group that was closed down. And there's people contacting us that can't find a church or a Bible study group there. And you can pray for Jönköping here, that where they will start a church plant this fall, yeah. And you can pray for Malmö, that soon will be in majority Muslims there for a church.
It's spelled Malmö.
M-A-L-M, and then an O with two dots over.
What was ours again?
Jönköping.
Jönköping.
Yeah.
Sounds Chinese.
Yeah. So let's...
You mean pray amongst yourself?
Yeah, you can pray amongst yourself. So we have 5 minutes, and then we take a break when you're done, so you can just go out to have coffee after that. Yeah. Thank you.